episode, but...
Well, thanks for doing my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's called Politically Non-Binary, and the idea is that we have politically non-binary conversations about controversial topics. Okay. And you...
Oh, I love controversy.
Yeah, oh, perfect.
No, I don't. Oh.
Well, too bad. So it's like my guests don't have to consider themselves politically non-binary. They could be liberal or conservative or libertarian or anything. Although I think you're probably kind of somewhere in the middle anyway, wouldn't you say?
Every now and then I try to give politics a try and like brush up on terms and see where I stand and look up philosophers. And there was something that's been sticking with me, like a nihilist. Like, in your view, what is a nihilist?
A nihilist is someone who believes that nothing matters in the simplest way. I mean, I think that's how I think of it anyway. Like, ultimately, like, so if you don't believe in any kind of, like, anything that could be called God or any kind of outside of the material universe, any kind of meaning or structure or order outside of the observable universe... then it would be easy if you don't believe in anything like that to think, real, who cares? We're all just going to die. Everything's transient. Nothing matters. And so from there, it's easy to kind of, not have much of a moral.
Yeah. I would say with a more optimistic spin.
Okay.
Like a tone. Hey, like, hey guys.
Nothing matters.
Chill out. Nothing matters. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Some people do call that positive nihilism.
Because if I were an octopus, I would have a tentacle and a lot of other things. Like, nihilism, maybe, you know, the bullshit astrology, you know, that gets people by.
Yeah.
And that all men make fun of women about because we're the ones keeping it going or whatever. But it's like, we didn't invent it. We'll get into it. Yeah.
Also, it's like, if you want to get laid, you should probably at least humor astrology.
Just humor it. You know what I mean? Like, just lie and say you're a Scorpio so a girl can go, ooh. You know?
Right. The woman's going to read into it whatever she wants to anyway. It's only to your benefit, usually.
When she says retrograde is happening, just be concerned.
Be concerned.
Just, oh, not the retrograde.
Yeah, are you okay?
Are you okay?
How can I help you get through this season?
Yeah. So I got a cousin that just called and was like, this retrograde is kicking my ass. I'm like, oh, you mean... aside from life, like,
right,
because every day is pretty much
I've been in retrograde all year
for 33 years retrograde. Yeah. But so I have a foot in that because it's interesting, because I study sociology, and what I actually got into it because I was failing elsewhere, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was interesting to take a few classes, but I originally went for psychology, and I just don't believe that all your problems are in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Some of them are in your legs, depending.
Yeah, but some of them could be in the environment that you were born in and all that shit. So sociology made sense. So there's certain facts that I would like to know before I even try to form an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not do well with any political party,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, a very slow to react, you know, and do something about it. You know, I feel like both the blue and red specifically needs the hotheads, the youth, the people, you know, and, you know, older money and voting power. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they need you to care so much. Like, and marketing is interesting too, like, because some shit should be illegal, but like the way you can just, you know, with comedy, you phrase it just you change something just a little bit and it could be a hit versus a flop, if you say,
yeah.
You know, so it's just like imagining what you're trying to do to steer people's money and shit. So yeah, a hand in nihilism, because I identify spiritually or religiously as more agnostic these days.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's got to be something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But because of more non-binary views these days, it's more like he, she, they, whatever the fuck is out there.
Maybe we.
You know, could be a Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's polyamory. Anyway. Hmm. But it's like, okay.
You say that's polyamory?
Yeah.
Like, you know, God's two gay lovers, his son and the Holy Ghost?
I'm just saying. I think polyamory is just, because when you look into certain sociology, like environment, village is just, even if you go back to certain like African, certain things like the way of village, nobody was meant to live alone.
Right.
I don't think so. Yeah. So however that dynamic is set up. I can't wait. Me personally, I want to own enough property, kind of like how your family mm-hmm. had it set up, where it's like I'm retiring all my old people that, you mm-hmm. know, whoever is old by the time I'm able to afford that, you know. But now being politically and religiously all types of shit, like I'm nervous to get a family reunion going because of how, you know, shit's going to go down. I'm so jealous of people who have family reunions. I'm like,
yeah.
But some people, a lot of people don't like their family.
Yeah, no, a lot of people really don't like their family or only like a few members of their family.
So how do you feel knowing that? Like, do you think we'll ever kumbaya politically or?
What, this country?
Maybe this country. I won't say the world, but what about this country?
No, I don't think we've ever kumbaya'd politically, and I don't think we ever will. There's always like a push and pull, and it goes back and forth about how bad it is and how contentious it is. And I think in some ways right now it's more contentious than it ever has been or has been in a long time, or there's more dire consequences at stake because of technology or something. Like, there's some particularly bad stuff going on. But I do think we're already starting to get a little bit more kumbaya than we were for the last few years. I mean, it could just be like the podcasts I listen to, the people I talk about to, but you know, when I asked you about doing this podcast and I asked you, or you know, what topic you might want to talk about, even though you've forgotten, you wanted to talk about free speech, which I love, and that's a great controversial topic. And I feel like, you know, and especially as comedians where we deal with this all the time, like, how free is our speech? Because when you talk about free speech, there's the legal situation of, are you actually allowed to legally say something in this country? Which most of the things that we might want to say, you can legally say. But that doesn't mean that there won't be social consequences. So I think sometimes when we talk about free speech, we mean like our interest in what the culture is going to allow, what audiences are going to allow us to say, and how much power an audience should have to petition venues or platforms to censor your speech. Like, it's not just the legal issue. Like, we're talking about like how we want people to behave.
Right.
Do we want people to call managers and complain? Do we want managers to say, that's okay, because you're just one person, unless it's a lot of people, you know? Because how do we want to be, how do we want to behave as a culture? What do we want to say that there are some words?
We want free speech. How do we want it? Silence.
Right. We don't know.
I don't know, man, because this is the longest job I've ever had. Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And my business is dependent on it. But like how I say, like, sweetness and candy and rainbows and laughter can come from speech, and the exact opposite can come from it too. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of labels, you know, queer, black, part-time feminist. Like, mm-hmm. like, you know, I always take that hat off when I get annoyed, you know what I mean? Which is often, so, and I don't wear hats much these days anyway, because I got an afro, but it's like, you know, everybody. I don't even want to say straight white men. There's been a crusade on that for a while, but I'm like, it's a lot of other, you know, mm-hmm. that crosses lines too. It's like, it's easy to tiptoe into talking about other things that offend other people. And it's so easy that when it comes your way to go, oh, you know, my pearls.
Mm-hmm.
What interests me about free speech is I know everybody has the right in this country, for the most part, to say whatever the fuck. And I know that consequences come from that, because, you know, I kind of grew up in a hood environment, and talking shit will get you fucked up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but talking shit can be a rite of passage. You can hang with the older kids once you learn how to talk shit. You know, you can, it's interesting because I've I've definitely offended people. I'm never, and you know, and it sucks to realize that that's gonna happen to the day you die. As long as you have breath to speak, you might offend somebody. Yeah. Just not trying to. And it's like, but back in the day, consequences used to be so dire, and it's not cool in certain countries to this day. You know what I mean? Like, certain liberties aren't there, and it's just, I don't know. I don't feel as though I'm taking full liberty of my mm-hmm. rights. You know?
You think there are things you sort of self-censor about?
All the time. Like, yeah. You know, Hans has a joke about...
Hans Kim, yeah.
Yeah, Hans Kim has a joke about, you think, what do you say? People in Ukraine are like, oh, I'm not really into politics. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like... You know, if I was alive when some, you know, there are little riots that were happening in recent years, you know, like, mm-hmm. like you so infatuated with history, like, man, that was a crazy political time. It's like, shit still yeah. wild. And I'm like, I have, every time I wanted to join a leader or a movement or something that looked cult-like or something that I could believe in, I was just like, the wanting to like be behind that movement always gets like the rug gets pulled. It's something that annoys me or a pet peeve about it, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you can have free speech all day, but that don't mean that it's not annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but where do you factor justice with annoyance? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Have you had times where you've gotten off stage and people have, and someone has said to you that they were offended?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a story?
Specifically with my church material. Mm. Some Hispanic gentleman was like, you could talk about God, you could talk about Jesus, but you don't talk about the Holy Spirit.
And I'm like,
whoa.
That's interesting. Like, yeah, you never know where someone's going to draw their line.
Yeah.
You can talk about God and you can talk about Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Wow.
I was just, when people get spiritual like that with me, whether you're like, Christian or clairvoyant and you believe in like other spiritual openness stuff and you come at me with a certain energy, I'm all like,
I think he was trying to save you. Yeah, because there's a verse in the Bible that says like that a sin against the Holy Ghost is the worst sin, or it's an unforgivable sin.
Oh, okay.
So I think, yeah, he was probably just like afraid you were damning yourself.
Well, there's some stuff that I haven't been able to forgive myself for, so I'm just like, add it to the list.
Yeah,
add it to the list. You know, to-do list.
Well, have you ever agreed with someone whenever they've said that they were offended? Have you ever tried to joke out and then been like you already, as it's coming out of your mouth? Because that's something I've had where it's like, oh, I hate that I'm saying this.
In the rare occasion that I do crowd work, I'm probably going to apologize.
Yeah.
You know, I did crowd work, an all crowd work show, Big Laughs all crowd work show. And like, I just looked at this lady and I was like, boobs. it was just like, boobs. And she was just like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I know, I'm so sorry.
But sometimes that would have killed, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm just, I try not to, but it's going to happen. Like, you know, that's the whole gist of the Bible, is that you fucked up and that's why you needed him mm-hmm. and all that so much. So I'm like, Well,
that's the thing. When people get offended at us, sometimes if they're offended at a joke that you've been telling and crafting, then you can have that conversation and be like, do I want to change this? Is it something I should take into consideration? But sometimes people are just critical if you're riffing or doing crowd work in the moment and you're like, yeah, I don't agree with what I said either. You're right to be offended, but I'm just working on becoming the comedian that I want to be, and so it's going to take years of me sometimes putting my foot in my mouth. Yeah. And you know, then you just have to kind of make the best of it. And but it's like, yeah, we agree with our critics sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I don't really get many critiques face to face nowadays. I have content out there to get comments now.
Yeah,
so those are fun.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely offended a lot of people on Instagram and TikTok. Sometimes.
If somebody's like dancing and it looks joyous to them, like mm-hmm. what possesses you in your heart to be like, why are you doing that?
Oh, people are upset at your dancing videos?
They did say my, like, I got hella comments on Kill Tony episodes. Hmm. And in the beginning stages of my dance videos, and every now and then, it's just like a why? And I'm like, what bridge?
People feel the need. Seriously, people feel the need to express negativity. It's just sad.
But I've done it too. Like, sometimes I spaz out online where mm-hmm. it's like, why did I reach out to this person? Like, I know them, or yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like, why did I comment at all? Like, why can't right. you just like it and move on, or
not like it and move on,
or not like it and move on, move on.
Have you ever given someone an N-word pass?
No.
Okay. Even your boyfriend, who is of European heritage, so y'all don't do that sex stuff.
Nah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, I believe in free speech.
What do you call him, the N-word?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I'm just weird about certain things, and that's one of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For a minute, like, there's, you know, this is Texas, and it gets yeah. it gets said by not melanated people.
And have you heard that much?
Oh, I've heard it come out of, you know, not black faces, or yeah. you know, and it's just a culture shock that I had to deal with down here versus
yeah.
in Michigan, because like where I used to mostly frequent, nobody would dare, you know. So
is this people who are using it like around you, being like I get like soft R, like they're trying to just do that, or are people being racist like explicitly?
I
or
mean, you got it from the greats to the locals. Uh-huh. People trying to use it like uh-huh. on the premise of free speech. I'm not harming anyone. I'm actually trying to make somebody laugh. Mm-hmm. I want to be clever. I want to be the white person that gets away. The joke is so good that nobody cares that I said it.
Are you talking about on stage, or are you talking about just in conversations like amongst comics and stuff?
Amongst, like, for some reason, white people like to use me as the vessel to answer their black questions. Uh-huh. Like, why can't I say nigga? Is it nigga the same as saying the F-bomb? Well, if I'm gay, why can't I say it? If I'm Mexican, why can't I say it? If I'm any other type of Latina, Latina, X, or Hispanic, why can't I say it? Same struggle, right? Yeah.
Right.
You know? I you know, if I really wanted to, I should have stayed in school to be some type of academic that can, you know, make money off of always answering these questions, or mm-hmm. in this craft. That's what I've been trying to do. Like, a lot of what my comedy is like bare knuckles. What's the silliest I can be? Because I am constantly bothered by all those unanswered questions. Like, and I want questions to be answered if they're general, like if they're sincere. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to offend anybody. I just want to know. But it's like, if you want to go down the business of not offending people, specifically black people, good luck. Mm-hmm. Good the fuck luck. Cause uh-huh. like I get irritated sometimes, and I don't know why. And mm-hmm. I know why. It's so easy to be like, slavery, that's why. Mm. End all, be all. That's the question. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. Put a stamp on it. That's everything. It's like, you got some black people who don't believe slavery existed.
Oh.
So it's like, you know.
Was that? That's an interesting one.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a conspiracy theory that some people think that slavery was a hoax?
Because some people don't believe it makes sense that so many people would survive given the traveling mechanisms, like conditions
like on the boats.
Of the travel and all types of stuff. Like, and it, you know, you have people that believe that there was black people and melanated people here before all that shit happened in 1600, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know. That's what I still believe in God for too. Mm. So I can get some answers. That's what I want. Like, I want to be to God with all the white people have been to me growing up. Like, you know, asking to touch my hair, asking why mm-hmm. can't I say nigga, asking me all these things. Like, I want to be a white person to God and
ask all the wrong questions.
Yes. Yes, that's what I want.
That's a funny way of thinking about it.
Can I touch your hair?
Yeah. How do people ask you to touch your hair very often?
Some people don't ask.
Oh.
Yeah. It's almost like just going up to a pregnant lady and just
doing the stomach thing.
Yeah. They just, yeah.
Yeah. That's retarded. Well, have you, because that's what I would say is I think that I've noticed a change in the culture and on stage where people are, words are coming back. Like the word retard, I think we weren't doing it for a while and many people still aren't. It's kind of like masks. Some people are still wearing masks sometimes. And, but a lot of us, I've made a lot of jokes about where the line is with these. And, you know, I have a joke in my stand-up that's where I say that I think the compromise that we should make is that we do everybody's pronouns, whatever they are, but in return, we get the word retard back, you know? And, but the thing is, I've been telling that joke for 3 or 4 years, and I feel like it's just come true.
We, it's a lot of power that's been taken back with that word.
I know, like,
you hear the nickname.
The nickname?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Tartar.
Tartar, oh yeah. Like
Tart.
Well,
I was like, okay.
Tart is so good. Tart, it's just, it's like, it's too funny. And we need to be able to call each other stupid. I mean, I think I tried to follow the rules over the last several years until a few years ago when a friend of mine who worked for Planned Parenthood talked about like getting emails in the morning when they would actually go over like language stuff that they felt like people should think about. And one day they were like, you shouldn't use the word crazy because it's minimizing people with real mental issues, whatever. And it's like, yeah, but that word is too colloquially broad and useful. And also we all have mental health issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm and like, I'm at this point, we're all
a specific one when I say crazy. It's always a, like, you know.
Right. It's a broad. Exactly. And so I think at that point, you know, yeah, well, I have
specifically people with Alzheimer's. Fuck you.
And it's even funnier if you do call someone like Alzheimer's-y or whatever.
Yeah,
if they're being forgetful. But yeah, I mean, we just at some point there's a trade-off between you might offend somebody or minimize mental health issues to somebody's perspective, but at the same time you need to be able to call someone out if they're being stupid.
What I like to say is, I think you're kind of acting on the spectrum right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're at the wrong place of the spectrum right now. Exactly. And I'm sure that's totally minimizing of autistic struggles or whatever, but it's funny and it's worth it because it's funny and it's effective. It's effective in getting your point through.
I'd be genuinely concerned. Like, I'm like, are you OCD or are you like, what is going on? Like,
you need help. Yeah. Just to circle back to the N-word real quick, because you now I'm one of those white people who is asking you all these annoying questions, but it's a podcast, so hopefully it's okay. But so you've worked with Joe Rogan before,
yes.
And he got in some amount of trouble when there was like a compilation of him and you know, saying the N-word over and over again. Well, it just, I mean, in different over the years he would and he was always saying it in these kind of ways where it was like he was discussing the word or something like that, usually where it was like some amount of context where it's not like he was going on racist tirades or whatever. So I mean, how do you feel about is that, and you say it still happens where people are using the word around you, maybe I heard a very successful comedian in a green room recently use it, and this is the first time. I mean, that's not something I hear very often. I think people are saying it more around you because they're trying to get a pass or something. That's not something people are saying around me very often, but there was I was taken aback by, he was older, you know, but I was like, oh, I didn't know someone would just throw that out and assume
Everyone would be so offensive.
I mean, of
course, that's all old people do.
Well, he wasn't like old. I'm just saying he was older than I am, you
I'm
know.
Pretty sure I'll be more offensive in my like 50s and 60s,
true.
Like if I'm around, like, you know, there's certain fucks I won't be able to give, you know, after attempting to give them for, you know, a few decades, the first few decades. But in specifics to Joe Rogan, so here's the thing. When it comes to Niggagate, I was listening to his set for almost 2 years now. I've been listening to his set for almost 2 years. He's getting it ready to put on special, you know, put a special out or whatever. And so I've listened to it tweak. I listened to it before the controversy came back up again, because it actually happened before.
But
it came back up again because they really didn't like what he was saying about COVID.
Right.
And they really didn't like some of his guests. and they really don't like some of the people he hangs out with,
right,
and all these things. And so I'm just like, you know, but where it really hit home for me is, you know, they were trying to cancel him, trying to take shit off Spotify, you know, Spotify boycott. And I was just like, okay, you know, he'll be all right. He'll, you know, he'll get through it or whatever, you know, because this is old and they're re-bringing it up. But what really hurt was when NDIRE came out. And I'm like, girl, you ain't been out in years. Where you come from for this? Right. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, oh, if you out of all people, because she's not a very vocal musician. Like, she went on the I Am Not My Hair campaign and just disappeared and cut, you know, went to relax and, you know, stay out the way. But she came up, she showed up for that.
Right.
And she's like, she's not even, you know, she was mad at him about the COVID stuff too, but she was like, she's the one that pushed the compilation to be back circulated.
Right. Oh, was she?
She was. That's sad. So then I was like, oh, NDIRE is really hurting my little black heart right now. Pulling on my heartstrings, because your music gives me energy I feel like I need as a human, but as a black girl. So I, you know, I look up to her, and I'm a comedian, and you know, Joe Rogan's been in the game for 30 years, and I look up to him.
Yeah.
But it you know, I felt what I could do to satisfy my black side and satisfy my comedian side is make a fucking joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a fucking joke about it. And I displayed that joke at his shows.
Yeah.
At Def Squad, at, you know, it's kind of like a go-to opener. And, you know, until I feel the need to not, you know, like how jokes do, sometimes they fade away or whatever until that happens, you know, but it still hits right now, and it's still kind of new, kind of, you know, topical. So that's what I got out of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's what I, you know, because I want to say part of me is like, oh, he's not racist. He hires black people all the time, or he hires people of, you know, all types of colors and whatever all the time. But like, there's that pocket of the world, or specifically this country, that just that good old, you know, down home. It's the part of the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not me, like, because I don't give anybody a pass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Like, I express I am uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. This makes me, you know, like, but like I tell you, like, I'm working on what offends me because of the job I have, you know, like, I really don't see it benefiting me anyway, you know, putting energy towards like thinking of more ways to be offended. You know what I mean?
Right. So I take it though, that your general position would be that he shouldn't be censored because he said the N-word.
I don't know. I don't think of any consequence. I have not thinking of any consequence. I don't feel, what's the word? Like, professional enough to say how he should be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right. So then I think when he came out and apologized and said he's never going to do it again, and basically kind of just being like, it was a different time. I know now it was never right, but it was also a different time. Being honest,
it does affect your money a little.
Yeah.
So when something affects your money a little, it's like, ooh, you know, yeah. Now I care, you know.
Right.
So
it affected his money some. He took some grief for it, and he's not doing it anymore. So that seems like a pretty reasonable consequence.
If I had a dollar... Mm-hmm. For every time anyone said nigga,
yeah,
I'd be a rich nigga.
Sure.
So it's just something.
Would you agree to that system?
Everybody give me all your money and you get all the nigga passes. Think
if people want to say the N-word so bad, if we just offer money, I think that's the reparations.
I mean,
we do
black people been N-word talking about
for reparations.
Reparations, like, I would like to see just what happened. I'm like, give us reparations. Just see what happens. See if that whole, just see if that whole, because I don't know what this theory is called, if it has a like an official name, but it's get them to shut the fuck up theory.
Right.
It's like, give them everything that they asking for and see, for once, will they shut the fuck up?
Right.
The answer is no. But right. It's like,
yeah, I think people suspect the answer is no. And there have been all kinds of reparations-esque programs. Because the biggest thing
you can do in this country is complain your ass off.
Right.
Go for it. That's what most... And these, you know, setups are all about, like, you know, mm-hmm. like, go the fuck off.
mm-hmm. But do you feel like, do you think that I'm right that in the past couple of years, things have started to cool off in terms of criticisms in comedy? And
in the past couple of years, we all thought we were going to die.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe, you know, there's a little bit more shit that slides. I think recently it's been a little bit more chaotic because... everybody, you know, got a whole pandemic going on. Everybody thinks that everybody's going to die. And then you got people who are still getting like killed in the ways that, you know, should not be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the justice system. And it's like, or the injustice system, or as some people call it. It's like, you know, so it's like, damn, we got to worry about like the literal breath that we breathe and, you know, water scares and, you know, grid problems and all these shit like that just to live a you know, a decent existence. And then it's like, then you got all the other shit to deal with on top of that. Like, I thought that crime and shit and like injustices against whatever people too much is like, you know, I thought that was going to slow the fuck down because, mm-hmm. you know, people are looking around and not knowing what the next day is going to be. Like, you make plans, but really get this weird feeling like, will we see the day that we made plans? You know, like, I don't know. That's another add to the list of conversations I would like to have with God. Speaking, I know you said free speech is what you wanted to focus on, but how do you feel about mortality? Because I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Because it's been so many really cool comedians passing kind of like back to back to back.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, while I'm trying to navigate life and, you know, being offended and offending people, just trying to, you know, make people laugh. But it's like every single comedian that died, they were older, some were younger, some were in the middle. And it's like each one don't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like... I'm looking at their career and I'm like, what am I trying to achieve? What did they achieve with enough or what is enough? Like, cause one of my favorite comedians of all time is Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when he passed, like, did he feel righteous as much as he led off to be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause he was dying on some fucking hills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We want to talk about free speech. That's who I want to talk to about. Even if he would make me cry, I still want to hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been thinking about lately, because it's like, I'm always offend somebody. I'm always fuck up. And so are other people. And there are always going to be pet peeves and offenses that sound off or get triggered. But it's like, none of this matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got a whole ass soul to reckon, you know, when this shit's over. That's kind of more important, mm-hmm. you know, like to me.
Are there words that you don't say on stage?
Yeah.
Can you say them all?
Well, I say cunt sometimes, but I have no use for it in a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
But, and I only say cunt when it comes to like voguing and dancing in that realm. Not like
with dancing?
Joke. Yeah.
What do you mean?
So are you familiar with the ballroom scene?
No.
Okay, so the ballroom scene is a underground queer community that started in New York and has gone all over the world where queer people get together and have balls.
Uh-huh.
And in the balls, there are several different categories, several different ways to express femininity or masculinity. There are core dance moves and dance types. Hand performance, duck walk, catwalk, or, you know, and dips, spins, and drops, and, you know, stuff like that. Like, when you go YouTube the shit out of it, because you'll be lost for hours on, like, how are they not, how are they not, their back's not broken, you know? But it's all about uplifting everything that they, you know, because in every category you are of queer, you don't belong somewhere. And ballroom is like, every queer belongs here, you know, like, and you will display it, like you're parading it around, like you're very, you know, proud of it. You're very, you know, they have like face category and body and like, you know, all types of like mask, femme, butch, whatever. And so, how do we get into this?
I asked you about words that you don't say on stage.
Oh, cunt. Yeah. Cunt. So, so cunt comes up a lot in ballroom music. So like they say, I'm feeling like pussy, feeling like cunt, you know, like, so it's like realness, fishy stuff like that. So yeah, so that's the only time I really use cunt is in ballroom moods or both. And I don't really drop the f-bomb because it feels like a white person calling me nigger with a hard R, you know what I mean? And no matter how queer I get, like I could be queen of queer and I just still don't. But I see you use it. I see other queer people use it. And I'm like, more power to you. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, I just personally, you know what I mean? Because I've been in so many scenarios where people try to say that they're the same word and they should be allowed by, you know, this lump of minority. You know, no minority can have their own minority anymore. We're all lumped together, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, when it starts getting like, well, if you say this, then I can say that, right? And it's like, it's not tit for tat here.
We
it's
can't
not,
trade. We can't do a trade. Little...
I haven't traded things since Pokemon bartering. Cards. Okay. So I'm good.
We trade words like Pokemon cards.
People always cheat with Pokemon cards. Did you have that problem?
People cheated?
Yeah, like...
I don't remember that.
Back before it was digital, you know what I mean? You play with the actual packs of cards.
Yeah, cards.
I always get cheated out my fucking cards. And I'm like, this sucks. I'm not...
I don't know.
And then Digimon came around, and I'm like, "Fuck this."
Okay, wait. So are those the only words you don't really say? Cunt on stage? You don't?
No, I say cunt on the dance floor.
On the dance floor. Because I was going to ask you about also words that you say. Is there anything that you would say on stage that you wouldn't say in real life?
Yeah, most of. Because I'm not a devout practicing Christian, but I'm a once or twice throughout the week practicing Christian, like and so like my family, my core family, like my sister and my mom, we have like a group that we get together and have a spiritual time or whatever, and they would be probably like, my sister, I've come to a show, she's my best friend, she understands. My mom, I don't know how open she would be if she, like, I invited her to come see a set once and she said no, so I was just like, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, my there's only a few family members that have seen me, and like there's some family members that I feel like is gonna throw holy water on me or some shit, attack me like Chris Rock or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely don't bring much of my family to shows. I once did a really tame set in front of my parents, and like that was the only time they've ever seen me do stand up, and I really, it was mostly clean of sex and language and anything, and then. But there was like a hint of stuff in there, but after the show, like, and it went really well, but after the show, my mom was just like, okay, well, I can see that other people were enjoying that.
Other people.
So.
So shady. You know, so moms give the best shade sometimes. Like, all right.
That's rough.
That's creative.
Like the word midget is one where I might talk about that word in stand up, but I'm probably not going to say it like outside of stand up. You know what I mean? There are definitely words where I'm like, if I'm talking about it, it's one thing. I'm not saying, but, and I talk in my stand up about whether we should use these words and stuff. But in real life, I don't necessarily then go and like call people retards all the time.
Yeah.
I still think, I mean, I think you should save it up for when people really deserve it and make it count. And, you know, and also like that there's a balance, right? Before, maybe we were doing it too much. Maybe we were calling people retards like constantly, and it had watered it down. It had just gotten mean. It had gotten to the same thing with like that with calling people faggots. It's like that was really
motherfucker was controversial sometimes. Yeah. What's wrong with fucking mothers?
So it all kind of ebbs and flows, and like having that understanding that these words. That some of these words that might be super offensive right now didn't used to be, won't be in the future, depending on who you're talking to and in what context. Like, there's a fluidity to how offensive words are. And so we're constantly playing with that. And especially as comedians, as people who talk in front of people, we're like a lot of who gets to influence what is said. Because if we say something on stage and the audience responds well, that shows the whole audience, oh, I guess you really can say that. So it's like a lot of kind of power that we have as comedians to shape the conversation. I hope
with my set until it changes drastically, and I'm seeing that my process is slow, but what I hope people get from me is that, yeah, Joe Rogan is a powerful guy that said these words, and I feel like he knew better. But... you know, in the meantime, until I figure out my feelings, I don't want nothing bad to happen to him.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, in the meantime of a lot of things, like, you know, I speak on the Joe Rogan situation as, you know, I made a joke of it as a black person. Look, I got to, you know, it's not hurting me. Like, it was something that I can get over, you know what I mean? Or with my mental health, it's like stigmas on it, but I say crazy, and I try to normalize somebody like that looks like me talking about therapy like it's normal, like it's a, you know, and I want to normalize, like, yeah, I date interracially, or, you know, and whatever, and it's like I want to normalize, like, it's just like any other relationship, we're going to get on each other's nerves, like, you know, and, you know, through everything, it's like, you know, I have all these, like, it's kind of like you see a person, it's like, how are your taboos doing today? You know what I mean? How are yours checking off? Like, you know, what's your hot buttons? And, you know, and it's like, if I still at the end of the day can relate, or you can relate to me, then I feel like I'm on the right track. You know, that's when I feel like offensiveness, when I go home and I'm like, because, like, I try to do some material about my family. Like, I don't know how this happened for you when you were starting out, but, like, everybody in my family is like, we crazy. Our family is funny. You can talk about such and such. You can talk about that. Knowing damn well if I talked about any one of my family members, like, straight up, like, really specifically, they'd be offended as hell. Or want a cut. You know what I mean? So
do you get offended by what people say on stage sometimes? Like, and are there themes to what's offending you in terms of, like, what they're talking about?
I mean, I've had a person, like, book me a lot, be cool in my face. We laugh, shoot the shit, and then they say nigga on stage, and I'm supposed to just smile afterwards and, you know, like.
How do you handle that?
I mean, because I give, it's okay, this is my thing. It's hypocritical because I give great to pass. I'm not picketing against Louis C.K. I actually take his advice and use some of his shit on stage.
Right.
Like he's number one jerker offer saying nigger, get away with it. And, you know, and he's beloved. And he should be, because he's really good at what he does. And he's been doing it for a long time. I like to go away and think about that. And I also like to believe karma, but I don't like to believe in karma as in go get them karma. They piss me off, karma, go get them. Like, it's not like a dog you can let loose on a leash, you know. Like, I feel like they go through consequences as they come. You know what I mean? So, you know,
so it kind of just takes care of itself.
Yeah.
So would you say that, like for instance, when, like, Dave Chappelle, people were calling for his specials to be taken down. Yeah. Like, do you think that's...
I was very confused by him because, like, race has always been the under thing of, you know, his clever way of addressing it. But this recent trans hill that he's dying on, I'm like, I see racism in every category, even if it's with... you know, queer community, like, I see racism in it, but, you know, I'm not being chased out of town with picket forks and hoods and shit. So it's like, it's a little less, you know, you got to take those microaggressions on the chin sometimes. And, you know, and so like, but I am kind of confused as to why he's down on this particular hill. I don't know if he feels as though he's trying to like use his platform to, I think there's still a racial undertone, but I trust what he's doing, but I don't really know.
Okay. But yeah, so, but there's some people who find it really offensive and like call for it to be taken down from Netflix. I guess, like, how do you, did you feel about those people? Do you feel like if you feel that way, you should write the email or send the tweet? And then, you know what? If enough people do, people are going to listen to you, and enough people don't, then we just won't.
Do you remember a band called Nickelback?
Yeah.
Remember how like they were the shit for like a quick minute, and then like everybody hated them?
Right.
Like they were always the butt of the joke.
Right.
What did they do?
Right.
Just, you know what I mean? Like,
they were just too weirdly sincere.
Same formula. It's just, right. You know what I mean? And if the shit sounds the same, you know, I don't know. I just, I feel like, I'm not calling Dave Chappelle Nickelback. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that he was all like, he just hit a certain category of could do no wrong. And it's just so funny that the queer community is the most like positive, build you up, but also like biggest like hall monitors.
Yeah.
Like really serious taking hall monitors. Like, you shall not pass.
Yeah, yeah. The hall monitor thing has gotten really strong in the queer community.
Yeah.
I think that, and I like to think we're going the other direction right now. Yeah. That's what I mean about things getting better. I think enough, like, we criticize queers enough. I mean, maybe this is just my corner of the internet, but it feels like there's been enough criticism of people going, y'all are being annoying and no one cares anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not canceling Dave Chappelle. Get over it. People have different opinions than you, and we're not going to just sit here and like pretend that everyone agrees with everything that y'all are saying. So you might want to figure out your marketing. You might want to figure out,
you know, how to win hearts and minds again. I remember my point with Nickelback. Now I was like, if you don't like if they lose the popular opinion,
right,
it takes care of itself. You know what I mean? So it's like, but the fact that so many people are tuning in to Dave and hearing what he has to say, like, nobody can have an opinion. Like, I listen to this. I sit through white people telling me all the time what I don't understand, why the black community is not better than it is. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, where are you going in and getting your field research from? You know what I mean? And it's like, who are your points of contacts and da, da, da. You know, it's like, I have done zero activism in my life, other than keeping my cool and taking my meds and not going crazy on people, you know, for freedom of speech, but, and just hoping that I have the same right. My issue in the comedy community hasn't even been with people's free speech. Like, I've let it go in my heart. Like, you're always going to hear about dick jokes. Women are always going to be whatever in certain categories and all this stuff. But like, where I'm at now is like, before everything, I feel like I'm black first. So like, I'm trying to focus on things within my community. You know what I mean? Like, there's like all this world shit, but I'm like, what can I, you know, change? And I hope that I piece together the magical jokes to represent what I'm trying to say. Are you familiar with a comedian named Flame Monroe? She's a transgender. Her pronouns are he, she, we. Yeah. She always say, he cast a check, she make the money, we spend it. That's what she say. So she was presented on Tiffany Haddish's They Ready on Netflix. And she gets in trouble all the time because she's not saying what the status quo is saying about transgender rights and this and this and that and this and this and that. Very controversial.
Nice.
Dave Chappelle recently worked with her. Because, you know, the last trans comedian that he worked with passed away right. due to, you know, overwhelmingness of the hate mail and all the shit, you know.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm not in it for the game of just saying controversial shit either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just to, you know, just to piss people off. Like, you know, if you got a point or you're trying to have a conversation or a debate, then I know, you know, the kitchen gets hot, but I don't really, I focus more on Black issues and the sub issues of those issues, because I feel like that is my contribution to making things better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
What was this woman's name again? The trans woman?
Flame Monroe.
Flame Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope she doesn't wind up killing herself after working with.
She seems
what if
to
she
be,
gets hate? What if she gets hate mail and then also kills herself? And
know.
Now Chappelle, it's just his fault at this point, isn't it?
Can you go to jail for that? For putting spotlight on people and getting them killed? Like,
they just keep getting
like a hitman or some shit.
It's like the job in Star Wars where you're just gonna die.
I've never seen Star Wars, but I ask a lot of questions about it.
Is that what your preferred method is? Just never watch it and just kind of
ask questions. You know, always,
yes. Yeah.
Somebody explained it to me, the breakdown of it all once, and I was like, "Oh, Darth Vader!" Like, I felt bad.
Yeah, it's a sad, tough. It's a sad story for him.
Yeah.
It's nice. You have a very forgiving heart. So
to my detriment, I guess.
Have you ever told a comic that you were offended by their joke?
Not straight out.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, hey, fuck you, you offended me. Like,
yeah,
it's always like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Moonwalk this way, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely there's a comedian that has that tailored a joke specific to a joke that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they inspired it, and every time they try to, you're gonna listen to it, right? Like, you're gonna stay and listen to it. And I'm like, yeah, and I leave every time because I'm like, I'm not comfortable.
Oh, but you don't know what the joke is?
No, I'm not. Like, other people have come up to me. I'm like, he's straight up selling your shit. And I'm like, but you know, somebody say nigga, and I say to somebody else, like, hey, it's fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like.
So you're just not very confrontational.
No, not at all. I suck at it. Never was good at debates. I got bullied. And I'm huge. And I shouldn't have been, but I was. So, yeah. Like, I don't like any controversy, I guess. Really.
Yeah. The thing that gets me is, like, I mean, sometimes there are jokes that I think are a little bit misogynistic. Sometimes there's, like, you know, but that's just going to happen. But, like, it's, like, a lesbian joke especially, or it could just happen with a woman joke where, like, the premise isn't true, then I'll say something to a comic if I'm like, look, like, I want you to be able to make lesbian jokes. No one likes a good lesbian joke more than me, but I need the premise to be true, or else it's just kind of annoying. Now you're getting people to laugh at something that isn't true. And like, that bothers me. So I'm just like, I don't, you know, obviously on a legal level, I want people to have free speech, but if it's in a Netflix special, for instance, like if it's something gets published, like, I don't want something with a false premise to get published and all these people are seeing it and maybe hearing something that isn't true.
Do you feel that comedians should be held to the same standards as academics?
Not as academics, but there should be some common sense amount of, like, you can't, like if you were to say a statistic about something that wasn't real, but you were presenting it as like 87% of women come from getting fucked or whatever. Like, so if you were just to say something and presenting it like that, then there needs to be some amount of, like, you can't just say untrue things.
I don't really expect a comic to give me accurate facts. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's your job. Like, if you want to sound on point and accurate and you do a little research for this joke and you want to be recognized for the little research that you did, like, hey man, I read up on this joke. Like, you know, all kudos to you, but I expect complaining, ranting, you know, false anger that's mustered up for the sake of the act. And I expect, you know, performance, you know, like, I'm not looking like, CDC didn't say that.
Well,
last
most
night.
Of the like, time, you know, people, yeah, comics just are saying stuff off the cuff, and you can tell.
Yeah.
It's only if someone says something in a way that, if they were saying it in an authoritative way, as if this were real. If someone were giving like a statistic, or they're just making a claim historically, and they're saying, "Did you know that the Jews paid for the Titanic or something?" I don't know, just whatever. You shouldn't, I just don't think you should say untrue things as if they're true.
I'm running with that. I'm starting that shit online tonight. I'm redownloading Twitter and I'm starting shit. I say
Jews did the Titanic. You heard it here first.
So how do you feel about Rogan, given everything you just said about authoritative type? Because I feel like he only has his comedian hat on. I mean, I feel like a comedian always has their comedian hat on.
Yeah.
But when you have other obligations, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think for a long time.
And have you worked with him?
No, I haven't worked with him.
Okay.
So for a long time, professors are now getting fired for saying the N-word out loud, even when they're teaching Mark Twain, or discussing a case where someone else got fired for saying it or whatever. There's all these examples of people keep losing their jobs, becoming pariahs, whatever, because they quoted the word.
Mm-hmm.
But that, when I was growing up, that wasn't the case. You could still quote the word, and that was considered by most people to be
I'm noticing it
acceptable
in Texas a lot.
At least in Texas. Mm-hmm. But I think even, from the way these stories are coming out now about professors getting fired now, that wasn't always the case. There was some amount of you could still quote the word. And even on news shows and things, they would quote the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the culture shifted a few years ago. I'm fuzzy now on when and how that transition went.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past several years, there was a real shift where it no longer was socially acceptable to even quote it. But people who were a little older, people who were in a comedy space, people who were boys hanging out with each other, drinking whiskey and smoking weed and doing podcasts, felt like we can kind of get away with this a little bit because, we're just quoting it. We're being funny. We know we're not being hateful. But it's a little naughty.
I think that's the lure of it.
Because,
if any white person comes up to me, especially now in 2022, and is like, "Why can't I see it?" You know why. You know better. And you want to anyway. That, I'm not going to give you permission to pass a rite of passage or nothing. That's something you're going to have to go and figure out life for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I have no desire to say any white slurs. I have no desire
to
say. Which ones? I only know of a couple.
Don't you want to say?
The cracker one?
Uh-huh.
I don't even think of a joke. I don't think of my boyfriends. And it's not like, oh, I'm being
you
a
don't
sourpuss.
Call him cracker in bed.
No. No. I have a whole joke about how dirty talk and don't work out for me and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole thing is there's comedy and politics have always crossed lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way to tolerate each of them.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sometimes it's like, can somebody be serious? Mm-hmm. And when it gets too serious, it's like, can somebody say a joke? You know?
Yeah.
And then I'm in the middle where's the silliness that I don't have to lean to any, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you leave my set, I don't want you to be like, let me go fact check her. Let me go, mine mm-hmm. was, I had a good time. She's so silly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily know. I haven't found the hill mm-hmm. that I want to die on yet, to be honest. So that's why I'm so in shock and awe of everybody else, what they pick and choose. Because I'm in my nihilist brain, I'm like, you picked that?
Right.
So much shit of shit. You picked that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So.
I mean, I have, I talk about controversial things, but it's the gender stuff. It's just because it's close to me.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me.
And you never come at it at an angle of making you feel guilty or bad. You keep it light. And I like your crowd work style.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It feels dangerous, though, sometimes, because, when you are talking about controversial subjects with people, crowd work could.
Yeah, but you could be stealing cars, but you decide to be, you know, dangerous with words.
Yeah, exactly. It's not bad.
I am jealous sometimes of white collar crime people.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't my brain work like that? Like,
right.
Like, damn, like, I never think to scam. Like, why don't I never think to scam?
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. All right. I'm trying to think if I have any more questions for you about free speech.
Anything you like.
So there's no, like, basically there's the N-word you wouldn't want people to say. And then are there any other things where you're like,
I mean, anything close to it, like other fun black slurs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One white dude said nigglet. And I'm like, God damn.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before.
And I was like, God,
an ex
damn,
of mine's like, sister, like in upstate New York.
What do you do when you hear something that you didn't even know you could be offended by until they presented it? Oh. I was like, what in the creative hell?
Was it about like babies?
No.
Oh, that was the context I heard it in. Like,
I've heard pickney for children, black children. Mm-hmm. And like, you ever heard that picnic derives from pick a nigga? Like,
no.
Yeah.
Like, should we not be saying picnic?
Oh, no, because like white people used to get together and watch black people die together. Uh-huh. And like, hey, pass the potato salad and killing a nigga today. You know, how's the weather? You know, like very nonchalant. So, yeah, it's fun being black, man.
Well, so, yeah, we can cancel picnics. Also, maybe the word vinegar is on thin ice. Even the name Monica.
Okay, wigger. That's too close. That's, come on.
We all, it's a portmanteau.
But we all think of a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
We all think of a guy, but it is still too,
Yeah. Yeah, so the portmanteaus are out. We shouldn't be doing that. What else is there? Well, I can't say any of them.
I don't want to see.
But when I was growing up, people did say these things. You know, it was like either the N-word. I'm trying to think, because I grew up in Houston in A-Leaf, and it was very diverse, and it was very, like, we all called each other everything. Mm. But I can't really remember. I don't think any of us really ever used the N-word. But wigger, yes. Mm. And, like, I mean, we also were saying chink and to each other and whatever, you know. It was like, that was kind of where the line was. And, but then you could probably still quote the N-word, but no one, because I remember being struck when I moved to like a town in the Houston Metroplex, but outside of like Houston proper. Once we moved a little bit further out, there was a guy who used the N-word, and I was, and had a Confederate flag on his truck. And like, that was the first time that I was ever seeing anything really like that. So
in Detroit, I didn't grow up around a lot of different races. Most, like, there were like very little Asian kids and my not very little Asian kids, right. But like they were
very small,
were
Asians,
very small amount,
a bunch of tiny Asians,
small amount of Asian people in my in ninth grade, the high school I went to for ninth grade. But mostly it's just all black children, so like it, you know, it was, you know, nigga this, nigga that, you know, all the time. But I was raised like strict Christian, but also like, even if it wasn't Christian, it was like super strict, respectful.
Yeah,
like, you know, we were those kids, like my parents would dare us to act out, like, give me a reason to whoop your ass, like I've been itching to whoop some ass lately, so like, give me a reason, you know. So it was just very like, you know, and I've, there's so much silliness to be had with little or heavy, you know. So it's just like, you know, it's funny, I'm a big macro level thinker, but small details like crack me up. You know what I mean? And so like, when I'm all like, why can't we all just get along on some Rodney King shit? It's like, I know the details why, and they're fucked up, and it's fucked up for a lot of people. But, you know, it's an inappropriate laughter thing too, where it's not just, I feel like an inappropriate, like, there's one thing to call somebody a racial slur or watch them cry, be sad, and be like, ha ha, like, bully shit. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing to be like, you know, there's a lot of racial shit going on. There's a lot of tension. You walk in the store and you see some garbage bags that say heavy duty, mm-hmm. and you giggle to yourself, mm-hmm. you know, because this is duty. But you know, like, mm-hmm. it's just like those things exist because those things exist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know. I'm really not on some like kumbaya type shit. Like, I'm not for war either, but I'm just mm-hmm. like, you have a heel, you feel strongly about it, plant your flag and die, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't really feel like a freedom fighter with my profession, but I feel like, personally feel guilty like I should be.
Yeah.
I feel guilty all the time. Like, I'm not exploiting my own blackness enough. You know what I mean? I let it be exploited by other areas. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we got this whole black lineup. We need to fill it up, you know? Got this queer lineup. We need to fill it up. Got this woman lineup. We need to fill it up. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, those are my parts. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's useful, though. Huh?
It works out.
Yeah, so at least there's that. And you get to say all the words if you wanted to.
Maybe that's another reason why I feel I don't take enough of my advantage of my blackness enough for every people. Because, like, they'd be like, man, if I was a black woman, man.
There are a lot of black comedians who really overdo the N-word. And it's like, it does help them, though. Like, you can see it. They get more laughs.
It's like a go-to, like,
Yeah, exactly.
What else?
Some of them, it's really like, yeah, you're leaning hard on that. But it's effective. It really gets especially white audiences to, like, pay attention and be kind of on your side, and it's wild to watch people wield that.
Bitch is a weird word. I'm weird with too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because like I don't like being called it. I don't like calling nobody else, even when it's the, like, you mean it the most compliment, like, oh, you're a right. bad bitch. It's like, even that is like, man, you know,
right.
Like, I mean, I don't even feel comfortable calling a dog that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
that's a word I'm very hesitant to say on stage.
And I reserve it for the dance floor too, or like,
right.
for like ballroom cover, like, bitch, you better work type deal. Like, you know. Yeah. But yeah, being called it, even if somebody like in Detroit, if I have good sets, like, it'd be black comedians or something, and just be like, you know, you a bad bitch, right? And I'm like, yeah.
Like, yeah, you really don't, you don't like that?
I don't know. And, but
I feel
I'm
like I would
about,
like it if someone said that to me.
I'm also weird about white people calling me queen.
Oh, queen? Yeah. It feels a little awkward to me, but.
What's up, queen? What's up, sis? I'd be like, okay. This is just weird. Yeah. I don't know why.
That's funny.
Marcus, funny story about Marcus. We were in L.A.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah, we were in L.A. and I love dancing at gay clubs. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. I'm bored. All we do is comedy. Like, let's go out to the gay club. And when we go out there, it was me, him, Justin Essemacher. You know him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. He's from Detroit, too. And he was our roommate. We came down to Texas.
Okay.
But he was there, and it was these two other roommates. And this is back when he used to drink. So by the end of the night, he was fucked up and everybody ready to go. So we go outside waiting for everybody. And, you know, he's being all lovey-dovey on me and stuff. And there's this gay dude right here. And he was like, okay, you got yourself a queen there. Okay, this and this and that. And Marcus goes, what did you say? What did you say? You don't think I know that? I'm like, bro. So that's why I'm a little jumpy about it, too. Because I'm like, make sure Marcus not around.
That's funny.
Well, he's been 2 years sober. So it's a lot of stuff that I don't have to deal
good
with
for him.
More. Yeah.
A lot of stuff you don't have to deal with anymore.
Yeah.
Do you ever have any issues with anything he said? Where you wanted to curtail his free speech when he was drinking?
I told him straight up, I'm not comfortable with that. But he uses all the other words that, and I don't, I'm so numb and tired that I don't feel like policing him and being in tune to what you, like, your material. Like, you reflect if people like it based off of, yeah, laughs you get at shows. You know, merch you may sell at the end,
yeah.
And the book is you get. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
See if your N-word merch does well.
Yeah,
and then,
go ahead.
You know.
No, there's a spot right on the east side of Detroit where I feel like you should tell these jokes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let me give you the location.
Invest your money in your N-word
shirts.
I'll
make sure some people there to laugh.
Yeah. Word. All right, well, thanks. I think we solved free speech.
I sound like a hitman. I don't want to end it off on sounding like a hitman. Like, I got somebody for you. Like,
No. Well, I think if someone were to actually make N-word merch, that they probably will, someone will hurt them. It'll, you don't even have to organize it, I don't think.
God, karma mafia.
Oh, I meant to have you introduce yourself to the audience. Why don't, hi, you, why don't you do that now?
I'm Genevieve. I'm a comedian from Detroit, based out of Austin now. I've opened for some cool people, and book me, hire me, come to a show.
Instagram?
Instagram, C Genevieve. That's CGENIVIVE. Instagram.
Yeah, you should always make sure people know how to spell your name.
Yeah, because
people get it wrong a lot.
People don't.
Yeah.
I spelled my name wrong for the first 17 years of my life.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I spelled my middle name wrong for a while. Yeah.
But your mom didn't lie to you. Just like, spell it the way I told you. Don't forget your, fuck the documents.
Oh, your mom was in on it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, Genevieve. Well, thank you so much.
See you in therapy.
What a great way to end a podcast.